Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, welcome to Concussed Talk Podcast. I'm first presented by HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada. Rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. And I'm with Erica and Jennifer. This is the same as the last time, but this is in January. This is episode 148, but
Okay, yeah.
We talked in the episode 148. I'm gonna say 43. Could be 42. I don't know. Anyway, because Mike Wall and this was.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Sounds right.
Yeah. 42 or 43 is around the time for now. Erica's on the board of the Branch Association, so we're gonna we have more unanimity amongst the group for the NLVA, but not that we didn't before, but you know, just now it's official. I guess we'll start us off with a little question / thought to provoke discussion. I've been talking about the who wants to go first? Who wants to talk first about the work, how the work copies, you know, occupational therapists, but they the occupation. This is an occupational therapist section here, I says. Kind of how that's been affected by the range in positive BSS, but I mean also just in a how has not obviously it's changed because of your bank because of brain injury, but I mean how has it been, say, how do you find it's been just different and maybe better since or if not better than say that, but I mean, you know, then since your injury.
Yeah. I guess, like, I'll start more so on a general basis post-brain injury, and we've talked a little bit about this off camera, but I've become a lot more of an understanding person, a lot more empathetic in situations where, like, before I had almost, like, you know, these are my opinions, these are my thoughts, I stand by these, but now I've almost become a little bit more overanalyzing situations. In some ways good, some ways bad for sure. But trying to understand like a bigger picture. Like it's not just me in this situation. Like yeah. I'm trying to understand how other people feel in the situation.
Which is very good for physiotherapy.
Yeah, it's very good for my physiotherapy career. Yeah. And it's definitely helped a lot of my relationships that I have with people, but in times it's definitely made me overthink things and maybe make decisions in different ways, some way positive
and slower, you feel like.
But that's more of a general basis, like, but I do think it's a positive thing because it's something that I think probably would have happened later in my life as I gathered more experience.
I found that
you know,
too,
you know how wisdom comes with
age. You feel older, like
all of a sudden. Yeah. So I've made some realizations by incorporating that into my life now at a younger age. And I think my brain injury, my stroke had, you know, implemented that to come into my life much sooner. I don't know if you feel the same.
I feel like I don't know how many years, so 20 years,
I totally feel
it's
that.
It's like, wow, I'm like that much wiser now. I mean, you're not. But like, people say, like, you look at some older people's age, you get older, you have no idea. Which is true for 99.9% of the population, but for me, I'm like, well, I always say that,
a lot of people say wisdom comes with age, and I always felt that, and I do feel like wisdom comes with age, but more so I think wisdom comes with
experience.
Than anything. It's no longer an age thing to me. When you experience the things that we have, and what I'm sure other people have experienced, you realize, like, a lot more of the things that probably, like I said, would have come later in your life, but it's come sooner. So the decisions now that I make at a younger age, I feel like I'm making wiser, more understanding, more empathetic decisions that I think now is going to impact my future going forward.
It's interesting because I feel like gaining 20 years experience from your...
But
I like it.
There's no rule.
Because I was trying
to... Maybe 30, maybe 10.
No, but I was trying to find a word to, like, cover, like, you have just a new appreciation for, like, the fragility of life. And, like, the way you describe it is way better than the analogy that had come up with my head. So... I don't know if we have any Harry Potter fans here. Have you?
I love Harry Potter.
So I read the first one.
Okay, so there's a part in the there's like spoilers, but like maybe it's Harry Potter. But there's a part where Harry sees his uncle Sirius like die tragically, and the magic of Hogwarts and how you get to Hogwarts changes for him, because the chariots or whatever's taking the kids to the school are invisible before, but then after this experience that he has, he sees these creatures that I don't remember the name that are not invisible anymore, that are actually pulling these chariots. And the concept behind it that I perceive is that, like, he's experienced some part of the world that has, like, been traumatic and seen the fragility of life, and that has now shifted his perspective or lens on what is magical or what have you. And so he's seeing things that were there before, but he just didn't have the experiences to draw to see them. And so I use this analogy just because I feel like we had talked about earlier, like, whether or not we felt like the circumstance we found ourselves in was, like, destined or, like And, like, I can't say that I feel like my circumstance was destined, but I certainly feel like I'm appreciative of the perspective that has given me for that, like, 20 years perspective or what have you. So that, like, I'm not going around the world with this, like, blind assumption that the world revolves around me, or, you know, it gives you that, like, lens of, like, everyone has probably gone through some form of something, and you should default treat them with kindness and be empathetic, because everything is just so hard. So having that new lens, I feel like you can just take the world on in a just a very different, more intentional and kind way.
No, you're saying the great, like, it's kind of a side note, but have you seen the movie Final Destination?
Final Destination, yes, I've seen a couple of them.
Yeah,
it's
already
on now.
No, they're so fun to watch. Ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, but yeah, like that predestined to first happen, but it's kind of like I mentioned earlier, the Sam Harris thing we're talking about. Where you said the possibilities, like, what are possibilities? Like, what is... like, it's either real or it's not real. Like, other, if even if there are, like, multiple universities, they're saying, like, there's real another way, another place, it's real. But if you want to believe in that, but that's a very side alley, very tangential. But yeah, but the whole thing, like, it's with the real, like, either it happened you couldn't have gotten maybe if I did this, it'd be different. Like I was saying, if I was like a minute late or 2 minutes later, 10 seconds late to my bike, I would not have my brain injury. But like, that's, you know, and then where would I have gone? Then where my life would have been? Then I would have done this, burned this, burned this. But life, who knows? You don't know because it didn't happen. So it's like not real. And I kind of learned that. I heard Sam talking about it yesterday, and kind of thought like that's kind of like I kind of thought that at least that I could think like figured like a long time ago. Thought like, well, it didn't happen. Like that's kind of happened with my acceptance of my brain injury that it didn't happen so far. So I couldn't have like, you know, done this and, you know, blah 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 triathlon, living somewhere else. Like it wouldn't happen. It didn't happen. So it's not really worth even talking about. It's like this is not real. And kind of like well, I think the opportunity cost. I was thinking of just economics. I'm not like an economist, obviously. But the most basic thing of opportunity of economics is opportunity cost. So everything you do has an opportunity cost, whether it's time, energy, your space, or whatever. So people always like kind of take away I like the way the economists put it, even though it's called like economics is called the dismal science because it's always like negative. That's down like, but like up to that word opportunity, and that's like it's like, and but people always drop that. People always drop opportunity and call it everything has a cost, which is fair enough. It's the same thing, but it's like. Means the same thing, but opportunity is like the main thing is that you have an opportunity to do something different, which is I think is a part of the wisdom of age, experience is like opportunity to say do something, do this now or don't do this or make this decision, don't make this decision or make all decisions, and just your opportunity. The opportunity is just it's a way of. Like, for example, like, I'm kind of rambling here, but on my, I kind of combined the two. So if I didn't have my brain injury, I would continue doing triathlon for, like, a month. Then I moved to Ottawa. Then I would have joined a water polo team there, and then I would have played water polo, and I would have played water polo just more, so I assume I'd still like to cycle. I love running, never live running, but I probably wouldn't probably give it up, but... play a lot more wobble, and do cycling a lot, but that's something that
didn't I have a question for you. Touched on this very briefly not long ago, about the when you accepted your brain injury.
Yeah.
When was that for you?
But off and on, I guess I kind of accepted it like. It wasn't in within a year, probably 5 years.
5 years,
probably.
Post.
Probably.
Right. Okay.
Probably. It wasn't like well, definitely wasn't in a year. Within a year, I was still thinking I would walk. Like all one day, I'd just come to me. All of a sudden, I'd be walking and running.
Right, and the reason I ask is because I think that's such an important part of recovery.
Yeah.
And as hard as it is to get to that point of acceptance, like. I think that is a positive breakthrough.
Yeah. Oh, that was.
Yeah, like I remember like that's when I started thinking more positively. For a long time through my recovery, I always thought like, when am I going to get to the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah.
When am I going to be myself again?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I accepted where I was and
when was
accepted.
That, when was that for you?
I've had multiple points of acceptance.
Or have you, I should say, yeah.
I have, yeah. I had acceptance for sure. I think I want to say like 6 to 8 months after. But I don't know if it was like a full acceptance.
Yeah,
I accepted where I was at
that
time.
I
accepted it for what I knew I needed to get through.
Yeah, no, I said that's an important part of rehab, I think, too.
I accepted it for that purpose of letting go of the light at the end of the tunnel. When am I going to be my 100%? When am I going to be me again?
Yeah,
I accepted, like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to see that light. I don't know if I'm going to be 100%. Yeah. And that's what I accepted.
Yeah.
And I started making, smaller, more realistic, achievable goals and looking at the smaller things okay, now I can stand up from a chair on my own. Like, that to me was what started to bring gratitude and positivity.
Yeah.
I looked at from a day-to-day perspective.
Yeah.
And I stopped looking of, like, where am I going to be in a year's time? When am I going to get to myself?
Yeah. Yeah.
I let go of that because that's when my mind was going in a very negative direction. Am I ever going to get there? And then I get sad. I didn't feel like I was making enough progress.
Yeah.
Things like that. But when I started to look at things from a very short timeline with more realistic expectations, that's when my mindset changed. And that happened when I accepted where I was at that time. And I'm like, okay, I could live like this for the rest of my life. I may have to live like this for the rest of my life. And that's what I accepted, where I was in that moment, in the present space. But I also had like another period of acceptance. And I'd say that was probably only like a year ago.
Yeah.
And at that point, I accepted what was my new normal.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, I accepted some of the things I knew I was probably going to now live with for the remainder of my life.
Right.
Some symptoms that may have plateaued. So, and then I also feel like that acceptance was really important because since then I've had to come up with like coping strategies. How am I going to manage this through the remainder of my life? How am I going to keep myself positive?
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't had just one acceptance. You know, I had multiple periods of acceptance of what it was I accepted and what I needed at that time of my recovery.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll have more. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you probably will.
How about you?
Yeah.
Have you looked in any of her ports of call? Did they enable to resonate?
So, like, I mean, we were talking about possibilities and expectations and acceptance, and like, I feel like I was in that possibilities category for a while, and it puts you in a little bit of a spirally dark clouds or storm cloud mode. The expectations, I always struggle with the expectations because I felt like it was, we had just finished talking about like, it gives you this, like, this added perspective, this new lens, this maturity or experience. And I felt like if you didn't change something about yourself drastically, like become an Olympic athlete or something, that like you weren't seizing this unfortunate opportunity you were given. And
I think,
so,
yeah, I think you mentioned that last. I think you mentioned that idea last time. Wonder if you did.
Yeah.
That idea last.
And so the acceptance part, I think I really like it. What Eric was saying resonates with me in that it, like, you go through different phases of it.
Yeah.
So I would say for me, it's only been in the last few months when I was like joining the Newfoundland Brain Injury Association and even like engaging with you both that I've come out of what I was describing as those storm clouds because, in that like self-protection isolation space, you tend to just be in your own little echo chamber and you don't get perspective. You don't challenge your own thoughts. And without those challenging of your own thoughts, you like, okay, this is the expectation I have of myself. And is that even realistic? Like, I think, I don't know. I think I'm maybe in a little bit more of a still trying to figure
like,
it out.
You're like, you're newer, you're more,
you're
more recently even brainier than either of us.
Yeah.
But I was like, I guess I was predisposed towards, very philosophical thinking. Though I'm not, I'm just not a philosopher. But I always thought like longer term approach style, just about like, it is what it is. Like possibilities is like, it's not real. It's just a thing you think it was, could have been real or is real, but you don't know. That's just, that's not what happened. It's not, that's not like real. Like there's nowhere that that lives. There's nowhere that the thought of me not being endangered lives.
Yeah.
There's just, that didn't happen. So it's just not, it's not like, you know, I can't just say, you can't like, it's hard to know when you're young. And then I'm talking about like zero to whatever. Anything, zero to 99, for God's sake, it's very dangerous. You probably want to care for ranger at that age, but like, you know, your ranger, you're thinking like, that this is like, I should be this, this is how it will be, this
uh-huh.
is,
yeah.
this year, and that's my worst, and you're thinking
yeah.
like, this, I want to 101, but like, that's not, there's no, like, that's just more like, not, kind of chaos theory, as in like, it's just,
here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's just what it is. There's nowhere that lives, that your future lives. They're just in your mind. That's just, brain is a crazy thing.
Right, for sure.
With the mind, I guess. The mind's okay.
The mind's
are, yes.
I agree.
If you want to do the whole mind-brain dichotomy, which I really did in first year. I took one philosophy class in first year university, and we talked about brain-mind dichotomy, and I never thought about it until just that second ago. But I had thought about it, but not. But yeah, but how it's like, it's just, it doesn't live anywhere. It's just like, it's like that possibility of, say, any of us not being brainjured, not meeting, for example. If we were brainjured, wouldn't have met, and if I wasn't brainjured, I wouldn't even be here. But I mean, if we were brainjured, I wouldn't be here, and if we were brainjured, I wouldn't be here. Like, it's just,
that's true.
So, you know, it's just, so it didn't happen. It's just not worth talking about, but it's just, it is what I'm talking about, because it's, fun little mind game that play, but just, it's not reality. It's just.
I think part of what you're saying though with the it's the not reality part is, I'm maybe still in this phase or this weird mode of like trying to perform as if I could without the injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of exhausting because I'm like kind of lying to myself. I'm like, oh yeah, you're able to do all these things.
Yeah.
It's like, oh right, you can't do the things you used to do that were perhaps not the best work life balance practices to begin with. So,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I think that's as advice, that some of the things that Erica and you were mentioning, Nick, is to set like realistic expectations of yourself and make them small, incremental.
Totally. Like some goals. Yeah. Like if you have a bigger goal and bigger picture in mind, that's fine. But if you're constantly trying to focus on where you are for this bigger picture, you leave yourself thinking, I'm still not there.
Yeah.
You know, but if you break that goal into like 10 sub goals, and like one of those, like for, like I said, is to just be able to stand up independently on your own. Like I remember getting that sense of reward, like I was achieving goals, and that's what really kept me positive, kept me going. Like, because then I'd compare, I was like, okay, well, last week I wasn't able to stand up without help.
Yeah.
But now this week I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you're reflecting on where you were before then, as opposed, and considering where you are now, and then that sense of reward. And I still almost practice that in my everyday life, like goals with like very small sub goals to get there, because the achievement, I think it actually allows for like a dopamine release.
Mm.
So it's almost like I took it as like, it's a bit of a strategy. I know I'm struggling here. I'm having like my storm cloud days. And how can I make that better? And like those types of strategies, goals with sub goals allows, and achieving those sub goals allows that dopamine release, endorphin release, and that feel good. So then you're more likely to keep going. You're more likely to like, you almost like crave that feeling, you know, you want that release.
Yeah.
It's kind of like similar to how like a lot of people talk about social media, where like, you know, a lot of people on social media, it's like very like driven. How many likes did I get? How many views did I get?
Yeah.
And that releases like dopamine.
Yeah.
Whereas like, okay, so, this post, I got X amount of likes, and you get this feeling, and then you're like more likely to want to post again and continue that behavior. But if you don't, then you're less likely to want to continue that behavior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole sub goal thing for me was like a big game changer, and I still practice it now because I know how effective it was for me.
Yeah. You know, it's just when you're saying that circle of the likes and the social media and stuff, then think of the dopamine, then the dopamine, but the opportunity costing, because I could fix it on one thing, but like how, but that's just it's a short term opportunity costing. Okay, if I just do this, if I just post this video or this picture, that's the opportunity cost and the high reward. And so it's not, and then say, okay, well then I'll do it again, I'll do it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And then it'll be, eventually you're like, okay, I've done all that and I got all these likes and I got all this dopamine hit, but now it's not reality, now it's over, now it's in the past.
Exactly.
So now my opportunity cost, all the time I spent doing this, I could have spent the thing that's supposed to be the thing. But it's opportunity cost wasted, which is then I could have been doing this, you couldn't have, because there's still no reality, not what happened, so. You know, that's, this is very philosophical for me and not being very helpful to the listeners who are looking to get advice, which they got from me, Erica, and by you. So how do you, I know for me, you know, I know when I was doing physical therapy, I was like Erica, same way, is more very concentrated in the physical therapy. As in, like, I have goals for this, and you didn't seem to have much, with physical therapy as much as you do with the occupational, say the getting back to work, getting back to your mind, going to caring for again.
Yeah, so I think the occupational therapy for me was very like helpful. I was in fact, when you talk about thinking about the challenges and the reward of returning to walking,
that's like,
I think with me it might have been so quick that I was back to those things that I'm back to taking that aspect for granted, and I don't reflect on it in the same way. So in doing so, that's actually put me in a little bit of a detriment, because it's like, it's meaning that I'm going back to comparing to like previous version of like before the stroke, like, am I able to do the same kind of like mental outputs, or like can I perform in the same capacity, sort of just disregarding that chapter in the middle of all this, these things that have happened to you that render you not able to do the things you were able to do before, but also maybe you should question why you're doing it that way to begin with, right?
Yeah.
It was not sustainable. So when it comes to mental health supports post stroke experience for me, I have had a little bit of a struggle trying to get access to, like, for example, I was screened out of requiring any kind of psychiatric care at the, like, the through public health.
Right.
Okay.
And then pursued my own, like, counseling. Probably like 2 years post, because
I
just
found the two that the not the mental thing, but I don't like that. Love these, their supports, like, it's great to have them right away because that's when they think you need them, but for someone to delay a lot and like, you guys, I need more support and more help now.
Yeah, I agree. I was also screened out, which I reflect on and find very almost shocking. I almost wish there was multiple stages of screening, like at different periods. I think when I was screened, it was so early stroke, which I understand they want to, for recovery purposes, make sure you're not struggling with like depression and things like that at early stages, because early stages is where you see your best benefit, your best recovery. But I was going through a period of like, I want to say still like somewhat shock and somewhat like extreme gratitude that I'm still on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I had my stroke, I stayed with my sister, who is an RCMP officer and is very well rehearsed in like trauma and things like that. So when I stayed with her, her and I actually read through all of like my medical documents so that I knew exactly what happened to me, because I was in and out of consciousness. So I knew exactly what happened, and reading through the documents, I actually became, oh my God, extremely grateful I'm still here. My brain was bleeding for 10 hours. How am I on this planet? So I went through a period, early stages, of extreme gratitude. So I had a more like positive perspective at that time, and that's when I was screened for like therapy and from a psychological standpoint. But it wasn't until later when like my reality started to sink in, where I started to feel a lot more of these ups and downs. But I then didn't have that resource anymore. Like I was already like, the box was already ticked. She doesn't need this help. When at times I was like, I do need this help. Like I still need to, you know, be screened at this point. So I almost wish that, you know, if you're screened here at this time, rather than just like screen and discharge, I wish there was like screen, okay, follow up in X amount of time, and then follow up in X amount of time, because I feel like depending on what your situation is, like it could change. It's not gonna continue to just get better. Like it may impact someone later in their life.
Absolutely. So I think of like this analogy. So I tried to get, I was on a waiting list, and I think they were very short staffed. They ended up not, they ended up canceling the program for this waiting list that I was on for trying to get these mental health supports, because it just didn't have enough people. So it's systemic to hear. But so first thing that happens legally is they withdraw your driver's license, right? And there's this like this regimented period of
they give you the assurance letter.
Don't
you dare
drive.
Don't
even think about it. We'll know if you think about it. So I feel like they have this like very regimented, like if we're talking about rules earlier, they have these regimented rules about like when they send out the letters to for you to get access again, and how much you need to prove, and then it's regimented, like every so many years you need to demonstrate by having your healthcare provider provide a letter or what have you to say yes, this person's still able to drive, there's no upsets in their conditions. I feel like we should be considering that level of thoroughness on the mental health supports.
I 100% agree,
because like it's you were just saying it's a up and down roller coaster.
It's a big roller coaster, and absolutely.
You never know when the you're sampling them at a high or a low, and
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I 100% agree, and like hopefully even starting this conversation is starting something.
Yeah.
And we can communicate it more, especially where we're on the board of the LBIA.
Yeah.
And maybe this is something we need to like park and be like, what can we do for people in the future to help change our system, or can we provide any feedback in that way? So I'm glad we talked about that, because I think, you know, even talking about it is the start of something, you know?
I just hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I couldn't agree more. I think we should look for that. Expand that all the, I don't know what we can do, because we're just the money and the necessary, the interest may be there on this, on a podcast, but not enough to get the people other people talking about it. So
yeah,
I think we should definitely try to get other people talking about it, because I recognize like the privilege in my perspective. Like I have insurance that covers my own like counseling that I take, and that's not like in some of the conversations I had with I can't remember her name for the Brain Injury Canada, the kinds of people that I think her name was Annalise, that she interviews were like people that have traumatic brain injuries from all kinds of things, from like domestic violence and all that, where you just don't have the tools at your fingertips to get the supports, like the basic care that you would need, let alone the things that come from like your
That was definitely the one area that I could have used more of. And it could have just been my situation, because like now as a physiotherapist, I feel like physically I know a lot of ways I can help myself, which I know is not the case for everybody, but physically I feel like I can help myself. Emotionally at times I feel like I can't help myself, and having that was always something that I was like, I wish there was something there for me. And that could have been just my unique situation. But I'm sure there's probably a lot of people who feel that the emotional health is definitely somewhere where hopefully we can incorporate more resources with brain injury.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking like that. Like I never screamed for what I was, but I don't remember it. But, for psychiatry or anything, and mental health issues, and just never felt like I needed it, and that I don't now. But maybe when I was, I'd say almost definitely when I was going through right away, I was more focused on my physical rehabilitation, so that was kind of a distraction, I guess.
Yeah.
Not a good distraction, but distraction from my other issues that I was just thinking about that I. But later on, I could have probably used the mental health assessment to really, because I mean, wasn't an awful way, but I could have been better, definitely. And I think, so I took my clock there. I'd say we were talking for longer than
35 minutes.
Oh, good, perfect. Well, great, not perfect. It's perfect. Half an hour, they need it. My TikTok needs to get like half an hour to get send upload, so I don't know how to put that on TikTok, frankly. Although I have a TikTok account, so I was listening. And
someone
helping TikTok, So I think we'll just leave that, this conversation there for now, because I think it's a great place to end and kind of put the underlying dental health issues that are apparent with that current pantry. And, we'll definitely do another chat like this again, and we'll continue to talk off camera as we did before. But I mean, just for this, for the podcast wise, which is now on YouTube podcast, but I don't think it is on YouTube. I got the thought thing yesterday that YouTube is doing podcast now, but this says it'll be on YouTube Music. I was like, oh, cool, but only YouTube Music in the US. And so.
I thought YouTube was essentially, I mean, maybe I'm thinking this wrong. YouTube is just a podcast platform if you're uploading.
I've been doing it forever, but they have a special, tag
sector. With,
yeah, so I don't know if there's a difference, but they didn't have YouTube Music before, I think. It's probably their main thing. And they do, but only in the US. And as in only if your podcast is centered in the US, so as in. My this podcast not got the US music, YouTube music, but about the just the normal YouTube, I think. I think now I'm not positive about that. But so thanks very much for listening, and I think this was a great chat, and
yeah.
I love these podcasts are great, and this is episode 148, and so at Concussion Talk, wherever, either TikTok, YouTube, Apple, not an Apple, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think that's probably it.
Good pods?
Good pods, it's like my go-to. But yes, and
I think I've actually shared some of mine already. So if you head back to some of the other podcasts I've been in, I think I've already shared some of my tags.
Cool.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Well, then, I'll see you really, I don't know, next week or this. But this will come out on March 20. What day is today?
18th.
25th? 18th? 18th. Jesus, we ahead of ourselves. So it's going to be March 24th.
Excellent.
And, it can't be 18th. Thursday has to be 18th.
Today's the 18th because yesterday was St. Patrick's Day.
So yeah. March 20th, yes. March 21st is what I meant to say.
Okay.
I knew 24th sounded wrong, is it? Because it can be, because that means that by. Did park allegations.
So this one's coming out the 21st?
March 21st. Tuesday, March 21st.
Cool.
But and then I'll have more in the doc in the works, so there'll be more coming up, but I'm not sure when. It'll be next week or week after or whatever. But either way, thank you for listening, and thank you, Erica and Jennifer. Mm-hmm. And
we'll chat too.
We'll do this again, and we'll keep talking if this podcast is off, and
for sure.
Jennifer could
shut
out the podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.